Chapter 2. Merriam-Webster says goodbye to a very old friend. Merriam-Webster was in the kitchen when the old woman died. She was making the old woman a cup of chamomile tea. By the time she came back, the old woman was entirely gone. Merriam-Webster put the teacup and saucer down on the nightstand. She leaned over and kissed the old woman on the forehead. Then she dressed the old woman in her favorite robe, the peacock-colored silk one with passion flowers painted on it. She fixed the old woman's hair. She arranged her arms into a tasteful impression of repose. She called the coroner, and after that, she called the daughter. While she waited for the coroner and the daughter to arrive, she cleaned the old woman's home until it was spick and span. By mid-afternoon, her job was done. The coroner had come and gone. The hearse had driven up, and two somberly dressed gentlemen had zippered the old woman's body into a bag and taken it away reverently. The daughter looked up from her texting, as if surprised to see Merriam-Webster standing there. She wrote Merriam-Webster a check for $200. She had never liked Merriam-Webster and was behaving rudely now, barely looking at her and handing the check over at arm's length. By this time, Merriam-Webster had been caring for the old woman for 7 years in a town called Hemet in the California desert, not far from the border. It was a town mostly populated with elderly John Wayne fans and their caregivers. Merriam-Webster forgave the daughter for her abrupt manner. The daughter had just lost a mother, after all. It was natural to resent the caregiver in such circumstances. Merriam-Webster did not mention that $200 was less than she was owed, or that she would be sleeping in her car that night. A friend had written to say that a brand new nursing home had opened in a town to the north, a place where they paid minimum wage plus benefits, so she had a backup plan. The daughter watched her gather her things together to be sure no silver or crystal made its way into her bag. Merriam-Webster did not resent her for it. She did not complain. Her belongings were not complicated. She did not take long to pack. Her car complained, though, wheezing and belching as she backed out and drove away. Merriam-Webster would have gone to the old woman's funeral, but she was not invited. Just as she got on the highway and headed north, Merriam-Webster checked her rearview mirror, and in that very moment, in that casual, nostalgic look backward at her former life, she saw the beginning of all that was to come. It came in the shape of a strange, sullen yellow cloud far to the south, still close to the horizon but billowing upwards as if spores had just been released from the biggest puffball mushroom in the world. The cloud didn't look to her like ordinary smog. It looked sinister and alive. "Would you look at that?" Merriam-Webster said. Of course, that old woman died a long time ago, so long ago that Merriam-Webster has since forgotten the old woman's name. It was a time when new wars were popping up on every continent and vast sheets of ice were falling into the sea and a third of the trees on the planet were burning. Korea still existed. Burkina Faso still existed. Countries with borders and names still existed. People still had hands with opposable thumbs for the most part. And on that day, Merriam-Webster did not think of the world and its troubles. She was on a journey. The road was in front of her, not in her rearview mirror. The sullen yellow puffball mushroom cloud brooding on the horizon to the south would take care of itself. And if not, well, then there was no use worrying over what couldn't be helped, because everything that ever happened in this world was meant to be. After reminding herself of all these things, Merriam-Webster drove on with a hopeful heart.